From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, what in the world are they spraying? Michael Murphy joins us, and here's what's happening. Now, as you listen to this hour, it may be one of the most important hours you have ever listened to in your life. There's a reason for that. You'll find out shortly. NASA has reported its first setback in the Curiosity rover mission to Mars. The sensor on the robot's weather station that takes weather readings and sustained damage, it's broken. The mission team stresses this is not a major problem and will merely degrade some measurements, not prevent them. So that's somewhat good news there. Boston Markets, the restaurant chain, is reportedly pulling salt shakers off its tables and plans to reduce sodium levels in some of its food. The restaurant chain will start taking the salt shakers off the tables at its 476 locations. Now they're saying the spouses of heart attack victims have an increased risk of depression and anxiety, even if their partner survives, according to Danish researchers. The study found that in the year after losing a spouse to a heart attack, partners were three times more likely to start taking antidepressants. Even if their partner survived, the use of these drugs still increased by 17%. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is determined to attack Iran before the U.S. elections, according to Israel's Channel 10 News. Israel is now closer than ever, it says, to a strike to stop Iran's nuclear drive. Jerry Corsi, of course, author of Atomic Iran, with us here. Jerry, as we have talked over the last year and a half, I do believe that the time is getting close now, and I want to get your views and impressions on this.
Well, George, first of all, I think the what's coming out of Jerusalem is the calculation that if Israel attacks now, while the campaign is still going on, the presidential campaign in the United States, Obama will be forced to support Israel. But if Obama were to win the election, the Netanyahu government is less certain that they would have Israel. Israel would have the Obama administration support an attack on Iran. So they're thinking they can force the hand of the Obama administration by launching an attack during the U.S. presidential campaign. That appears to be the calculation. It's a very risky calculation. I mean, George, you know, I've been working to try to prevent this war since I wrote Atomic Iran in 2005. I fear for this war. Quite frankly, I cannot imagine any president of the United States not supporting Israel. I think Barack Obama, as well as Mitt Romney, if he were to be president, would both support Israel, as have virtually all previous presidents going back to Harry Truman in 1948. But it does indicate that Israel is getting increasingly nervous, and that the likelihood of an attack now, it seems to be the debate is not whether there's going to be an attack on Iran, but when it's going to occur.
I think so, too. Even though experts say that Iran's nuclear capability might be a year or two away, I think, like you said, Jerry, Israel is getting very, very concerned.
Right. There comes a point where it's the book I wrote a few years ago called Why Israel Can't Wait. And, I mean, I remember having a discussion even at that time with General Yalon, who said, you know, if it came to an existential issue and Israel was worried about its survival, Israel would attack Iran with or without the support of the United States. And I fear that's a point at which Israel may soon get.
Okay, Jerry, we'll stay in touch with you on this story. And amid increasing talks of a possible Israeli strike on Iran's facilities, Iran now has begun construction of a new state-of-the-art anti-aircraft missile base. The new base is in southern Iran. It'll cost about $300 million, home to 6,000 personnel and host 7 battalions. As you know, on this program, we have various experts who join us, giving us their expertise. We've got one with the Hossein Hajazi. Hossein has worked in the media. He's been invited to take part in many programs, an active member of the Iranian community here in the Los Angeles area. Hossein, I want to get your take on the Iranian Americans and how they feel about the possibility of some kind of military intervention there.
Mr. Nouri, the Iranian community is very concerned about the fact that this rhetoric is getting very close to a reality, and especially with the rhetorics that we heard from Ayatollah Khamenei and Ahmadinejad just 2 days ago on their speeches that they bashed Israel again and they called for, wiping
Israel off the map,
from the face of the earth. All these things can create a lot of problem, and the people in Iran are very, very agitated and very concerned about the fact that after all these sanctions that have been imposed on Iran, that has a very harsh effect on Iranian people, they may face with an attack from Israel. And the, another issue that has came up in some internet pages, and you know, there were one article was about the possibility of Israeli planning to use EMP attack on Iran, which is a very dangerous weapon, which has been created by Israelis and has a power to paralyze every conceivable electronic device in Iran. And this stands for electronic magnetic, electromagnetic pulse.
Hossein, based on your experience and based on your sources, the people you have talked to, the people you know, what do you feel? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, we are all hoping that these are just speeches from two sides to threaten each other and may not happen. And this is the hope that everyone has. But I personally think that this is getting to a very, very dangerous point, and it has caused a lot of concern about the people who are watching this situation very closely.
Okay, and of course we're going to be in touch with you in the weeks to come, because the talk is that if this happens, it will be within the next few months. And as Hossein just mentioned, by the way, analysts say that Israel now believes diplomacy has failed to halt Iran's nuclear program, and that the Jewish state's very survival is at stake. Israelis have not ruled out a Jericho 3 missile launch to detonate a single electromagnetic pulse warhead at high altitude over central Iran. Now, in a moment, we'll be talking with William Forschin about this. William has been on the program talking about what could happen if a bomb like this happened to be detonated above the United States. Well, here we're looking at it possibly detonated over Iran, and we're going to spend the hour with William in a moment. How much is your leg worth? Well, a couple who each lost a leg when their motorcycle was struck by a teenager while he was sending text messages, they've settled their lawsuit against him for $500,000. They each lost a leg. They only got $500,000 total. That's the max from the insurance company. In the news at coasttocoastam.com, look at the picture of the guy who swallowed a 9-inch fork. He did it decades ago. He says he was messing around. Doctors are going to take the thing out of him. Unbelievable story there. And you know, Eric von Däniken built his entire theory of extraterrestrial visitations on those special Nazca lines in Peru. Well, now squatters have started raising pigs on the site, and the giant designs that you can see from an airplane that were very mysterious are beginning to get weathered away because of all the pigs and squatters out there. Okay, in a moment, we're going to talk with William Forschin about the possibility of Israel launching an EMP attack over Iran, the possibilities and what that means. William's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie, author of One Second After. William Forschin back with us, professor of history and faculty fellow at Montreat College in Montreat, North Carolina. One Second After's book was cited on the floor of Congress. It is, I think, probably one of the best books on the possibility of EMP attacks. And here is William on Coast to Coast. William, thanks for coming at this short notice. I appreciate it.
George, as always, it's a pleasure to be with you.
This story about Israel with the possibility that they would launch an atomic weapon over Iran and create this electromagnetic pulse, how realistic is this?
I found it interesting that your previous guest from the Iranian perspective raised this issue before you and I even began to talk now. EMP is a decapitation strike, meaning it decapitates the command and control of your opponent in the opening move of a conflict. All the way back in the Cold War in the 60s, that was already part of a fighting strategy if we'd gone into a confrontation with the Soviet Union. First shots would have been decapitation by using EMP. It was threatened in 1991 as a counterstrike if Saddam Hussein unleashed chemical weapons. We're looking at the same pattern right now. I believe both sides have the capability, and it would be the opening move. It would be extremely effective against Iran, but then again, it will be the first military use of a nuclear weapon since 1945, which will have a world-shattering effect.
In an area that has countries so relatively close, can you actually pinpoint what you're going to do, where you're going to detonate it, and how do you know it's only going to affect that country?
EMP is a line-of-sight event. The higher above the atmosphere you go, the greater the extent. For example, a detonation approximately 250 miles above the central United States could have an effect all the way out to either coast. So you picture it as a cone. The lower down you detonate, the shorter your range of effect. Now, if this should happen to overlap into Afghanistan, Pakistan in part, in a war for national survival, do you think Israel is really going to be that concerned at that instant? Remember, the size of the nation, it's not much bigger than New Jersey.
That's true. That's true.
Imagine if we're in a military situation where on the one side, Philadelphia is hostile, the other side, New York is hostile, you can be pinched off within a matter of an hour. Look at the current situation now in Egypt, which is becoming increasingly hostile, whereas 10, 15 years ago, Israel knew it had a safe border there.
That's right, not anymore. They've got tanks on the Sinai now.
And we just saw in the news a couple of days ago where crucifixion has come back to Egypt as a form of punishment.
Yeah.
We have the situation in Syria on the other flank of Israel that is totally out of control. There's reports of Iran now having ships being put at the sea with short-range missiles. I would also link in what happened in the Gulf of Mexico. We have information that the Pentagon is denying at the moment, but it's out there in mainstream media that the Soviets put an attack submarine into our soft underbelly, the Gulf of Mexico. It loitered there for a couple of weeks, went undetected. Simultaneously, the Soviets actually had aircraft penetrate our outer defense layer along Alaska and California. Why would they do that?
You know, you're right. I mean, this Cold War that they played back in the 60s, I thought was over with and done. It's not. There's something else going on here. The reason I wanted you on for the hour tonight, William, is I feel something. I mean, part of my experience has been this intuitive instinct I have. And there's just, there's too many signs out there. I think something's going to happen.
I do, too. George, talked about this before. You and I are old enough, though we hate to reveal it, that we remember the Cuban Missile Crisis.
That's right.
The Soviet arsenal in 1962 was a fraction of the Soviet nuclear capability of today. The technology the Soviets have achieved and they continue to work, the Russians now, but
sure,
it's the same. Putin is part of the same old crew.
You're right, exactly.
He's KGB. They have continued to pursue aggressively launch systems, updating their detonation systems, and we notice there's linkage between Iran, Syria, terrorism, Russia. They're players on the same side.
China, where do we throw them?
I don't think China at this moment wants a destabilizing global war. But let us say we and the Russians finally wound up in a full-scale confrontation, and China plays neutral. Who comes out on top?
China.
Exactly.
Yeah. They're the only ones that don't get hurt.
Right.
And, I mean, you wound us, we wound Russia. China's still capable of doing anything. They've got their full strength.
George, we both know that if the situation with Israel and Iran spills into eventually confrontation with us and the Russians and a cascading effect. It's not about wounding. It's about annihilation. I was just talking in my class this evening about the beginning of World War One. Look at the cascading effect. A prince that very few people really cared about is shot in Sarajevo, June 1914.
World and War One. Here we go.
Yeah. The devils of war were unleashed. Who would have imagined that that would have dragged America into a global war a couple of years later?
Nobody would have won that in a bet. Nobody.
No.
This is more predictable. Sadly.
Doesn't that scare you?
Yeah.
Scares the hell out of me at the moment.
You know, I've got six grandchildren. And you know, I worry about them and my three children every day, William. And when you see this rhetoric that's out there right now, Iran building its anti-missile system sites, Israel possibly talking about an EMP attack, Israeli television saying Netanyahu will attack before the elections, Ahmadinejad and Khamenei screaming Israel's got to be taken off the map, annihilated. I mean, how much more obvious? It's there. It's there. Michael Maloof wrote for WorldNet Daily as well about this electromagnetic pulse possibility. Like you, there are a lot of experts out there who think this is a very real possibility. My question to you now is, will this escalate to bring us in? Or would Israel and Iran settle this on their own?
I cannot envision a scenario, particularly if nuclear thermonuclear devices are deployed, or EMP, which is created by a nuclear device, is used. I cannot see a scenario that would not eventually drag us in, drag perhaps Russia in, as we just talked about a minute ago. Who would have predicted the prince being shot in 1914 would finally trigger a global war that would kill tens of millions? This time we're talking about hundreds of millions dying.
Are we talking about the apocalypse? I mean, I don't get overly religious here, but this reads like the Book of Revelation.
I have a lot of Christian friends who are drawing parallels on this, and I teach at a Christian college. It's a conversation I had with somebody over lunch today, where they were asking me, "Is this the end game?" And I was like, "Keep praying, just keep praying that it is not." But we're looking at an out of control scenario.
Let me ask you this real quickly. I mean, can you imagine you're the head of state of a country, let's say Israel, and you've got a far-off neighbor saying that you need to be annihilated? Now, I don't care, William, if that's rhetoric or not. Government leaders don't say that anymore. Are they insane?
It's not a far-off neighbor in the current military capability.
True.
The flight time is maximum 5 to 7 minutes on a fairly low trajectory. 5 to 7 minutes between, okay, life is going on normal, we're sitting back watching a reality show, and the game is over.
It's over, just like that. Yep.
Yes.
But I mean, how could these leaders of Iran spout this stuff? I mean, can't they sit down with Israel and say, you know what? We need power like you have it. Let's all work together. Let's be great neighbors and friends. Why can't they do that?
Well, let me just draw a little analogy, George. And let's say that you and I are living in the same neighborhood, and across the street we have a neighbor who has a high fence who talks down into a well, believing that his hidden Amon is down there, and that if he can kill you and I, it will bring about the glorious end time for him, and his hidden Amon will come up out of the well. We're talking about Shiites, all right? And we see him out there every day doing target practice with your face and my face on the target, and he's leaning over the fence screaming at it. He's going to bathe us in fiery death from hell.
Then I got a problem with that.
I got a real problem with that.
And as we know, most Iranians love the Western way of life.
They don't want this.
Of course not. I feel sorry for these people.
I just had a very emotional experience several weeks back where one of my students...
Hold on. I'm going to hit this break, and I want you to tell us that story when we come back. Plus, we're going to take phone calls with you. It's an hour that I thought we needed to talk about. Most of the mainstream media hasn't touched it this way, and I just feel it. It's out there on the horizon, and I want you to know what's going on. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And, of course, we're going to take your phone calls this hour. Let me give you the numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. The wild card line is 818-501-4109. And there you go with the international line at 800-893-0903. Skype, George, 97313. Next hour, Michael Murphy joins us as we talk about what in the world are they spraying, as we talk about chemtrails. And when we come back in a moment with your calls, we'll also continue talking with William Forstchen 1 second after on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, William Forstchen with us as we talk about 1 second after. We'll take your calls. William, you're going to tell us a story. I probably have a student.
Yes. Okay. Student from many years ago during the reign of Ayatollah Khomeini, worked with him for years. To go straight to the point, he returned home because of the illness of his mother, and the reports we received at that time was he was arrested and murdered because of his exposure to America. To my tearful delight, I received contact from him about a month ago that, in fact, he survived. And so there's a very personal side, a young man, well, he's middle-aged now. He's in the middle of Tehran. So, you know, when we saw the attempt of the Iranians a couple years ago to have an actual election, the majority turned out against the current government.
That's right.
In 1938, did the majority of Germans want to trigger a global war? Heck no.
No.
But they were dragged into it.
And the
finally, in the end, they fought.
And one of the reasons, William, the Israelis are so sensitive is when someone says, we want to annihilate you after what happened in World War II, they take that seriously.
Look at the threat that the Syrians recently made, that if their government goes down, we're going to unleash chemical weapons.
Yeah.
Now, that for anybody who is Jewish, is that not an extreme hot button?
Exactly. What do you think of this possibility? And then we'll finish this half hour up with calls with you. What do you think of before an EMP attack or before any military intervention, there is a systematic surgical removal by Mossad of people like Ahmadinejad and Khomeini and people like that, so that the Iranians may be able to vote in someone's a little more pro-Western, who's a little more docile?
Oh, I wish we had such a scenario. I can remember a leadership of a president in the 1980s who defiantly said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. But also remember, we were funneling tremendous amount of support into underground movements, particularly Solidarity, to prop up and encourage people for freedom. We had that same opportunity several years ago with the election in Iran. And what was our reaction when it was suppressed? We actually sent a communique congratulating them on a legitimate election. And you notice my blood pressure just went up. We had that opportunity, and we just let it slip right through our fingers.
When militants attacked the Israelis in Munich, after that tragedy, Golda Meir, who is the prime minister of Israel, systematically had Mossad take out those terrorists one by one.
Yes.
And I think before anything happens, maybe this would happen like that scenario.
Would there be support from our government? That's problematic. Secondly, consider the security they must have on themselves. I mean, anyone who thinks Mossad is after them better darn well be frightened in a big way.
They are as good as they come.
But they have had years and years, like the North Koreans, which we've talked about in a previous program. Good Lord, bunker systems 1,000, 1,500 feet down, layers of security.
Yeah.
I doubt the potential of a successful decapitation strike without military use, but simply as the old spy versus spy system. It's not going to happen.
We're taking calls now. Let's start by going to Michael, east of the Rockies in Old Fort, North Carolina. Michael, you're on. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you so much, George.
Sure thing.
And it's an honor to talk to you, Dr. Forston. I'm right next door to you in Old
yes,
Fort.
Yes, you are. You're just down the hill. How you
yes,
doing?
It is such an honor. Sir, I am a Christian, and I used to belong to a non-denominational church. We all practice the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Whenever we prayed in the Holy Ghost, prayed in tongues, we would hear, for years we've been hearing things about Russia attacking the United States by sea and waging a limited nuclear strike upon the United States. And this in conjunction with Ezekiel's chapter 38, chapter 39, attack, Russia's attack on Israel in conjunction with Iran. And my question to you is what do you think are the possibilities? And you mentioned like World War One, and I've been talking about this for years, and it's like people in the churches are in denial that this war is inevitable. And what do you think are the chances of Russia and Iran launching a preemptive strike against Israel and the United States before Israel can do anything?
I think we're facing perhaps the three most dangerous months since the 1930s.
Yep, that I agree.
A decapitation strike, the playbook is EMP first, because that blows out your command, control, communications, and everything in the first second. So keep praying, sir. Keep your congregation in prayer down there that this does not happen. But I am deeply concerned. When I'm talking to ex-military, and I must emphasize, I deal with nothing classified. I have no security clearance. These people were talking to me about information in the clear. They were horrified. They were outraged that the Russians, to put a submarine into the Gulf of Mexico just, 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, and we do not react. Their aircraft penetrate our outer defense layer. We do not scramble. 20, 25 years ago, there would have been about a half a dozen old Orions circling that Soviet sub.
Exactly.
And those planes penetrating would have been facing F-15s, F-18s coming straight at them.
Do you remember that spiral? I think it might have been a Chinese missile launch off the West Coast. Remember that?
Yeah, we've talked about that before, George. And we're told by our government that that was an optical illusion. That sure as heck looked like submarine-launched ballistic missile to me.
It sure did, and I don't think it was one of ours.
No, no.
Next up, let's go to Toronto. You ready?
Yes.
Yash is with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Yash. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I am an Iranian, basically born living in Canada.
Okay.
And I just want to voice, basically tell my story, and I want everybody to know that this war, basically, that is brewing is absolutely wrong, because the people of Iran are going to end up like the people of Iraq and Afghanistan. And there are innocent people there. And
who love this way of life. I know a lot of Iranians, and they love America.
Exactly. I mean, they're just like everybody else. We're all humans. You know, we're just on different sides. And the governments are playing the chess game in the middle here, which is absolutely wrong. And they're playing with the lives of the innocent people. You know, I mean, when I was in Iran, when I was 9 years old, as far as religion and race, it wasn't really a big thing back then. When I came here, I kind of realized all this, all of a sudden, how everybody has their little corners of religion and race and all that. And it's become such a big thing. And it's really you know, we're all humans. It should be, you know, we should be able to get along and all this, you know.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
How do you feel when you hear Ahmadinejad or Khamenei talking about annihilating Israel, blowing them off the map? As an Iranian, how do you feel?
Well, believe me, over 70% of Iranians absolutely hate, and I'm telling you, absolutely hate the government and what they're doing. And what
I agree. I agree. I had a friend just came back from Iran. He said everybody he talked to wishes they would just go away.
And you want to know what the other 30 or 25% are? Those are the religious kind of brainwashed people.
The fanatics.
Fanatic, you know, well, you know, just fanatic in, you know, that's all they know. That's all they live, you know. Then they don't have much of a income. And the ones on top are the ones who are basically hoarding all the money, all the oil money.
That's right.
And
you've got it down. You've got it down. You know what's going on.
It's just ridiculous because a lot of these innocent people, you know, Iran's going to turn into another Iraq, probably even worse. Who knows?
That's true. Josh, thanks for your input. You know, William, these leaders of Iran have the greatest Ponzi scheme going, better than Bernie Madoff, because they've got all the oil and all the money flowing to them. They must have billions in personal bank accounts.
My heart breaks listening to a gentleman like that, because we had a chance in the 1970s to have prevented all this, and we had a president, Jimmy Carter, who would not act. Did not support the most progressive, enlightened regime in the entire Middle East. Now, there were problems, definitely, with the Shah, but this gentleman was dead on right. The vast majority of Iranians wanted nothing to do with the madmen who have taken over in their nation since the 1970s. In the same way, the majority of Germans did not want Hitler.
That's true.
And stood back horrified when they realized what was happening. And died by the millions as a result.
You control the military, you do what you want. And that's what's going to happen.
Hitler didn't even fully control his own military initially, but in the end it was...
In the end he did.
Well, yeah. Well, we're stuck with the guy, and the whole world's after us, so we're going to have to fight. And tragedy, just absolute tragedy for so many millions of Germans.
Let's go to Philadelphia. Dave's with us just in the city of brotherly love. Hi, David, go ahead.
Good morning, George. Good morning, William.
Good morning.
I was wondering if William was of the same opinion as I am that World War II, the Nazi part of World War II, never actually ended, since they were aided and abetted by the Islamic Mufti of Jerusalem and parts of Iraq and the Iranian regime at the time in giving Hitler the impetus to perform the Holocaust. And this is just part two. Since it's in their holy book, almost all of the Quran says to kill the Jews wherever you find them. It's part of the religion. And no matter how much we deny it and say that it's a religion of peace, it's not. If you read the holy book of these people that are, you know, hell-bent on killing every Jew on the planet, they helped Hitler during World War II. Dieter Wisseleni was Eichmann's right-hand man, and he testified at the Nuremberg trials that the Mufti gave the idea to Hitler to kill all the Jews of Europe, not to let them go. The Germans had planned to send the Jews to Madagascar, and, you know, the Mufti came along and said, no, we want them all dead. They allied themselves. He had an apartment paid for by Hitler in Berlin. He went on the radio. I think this is a part of World War II that never ended, and we just don't see it. The Odessa file, the Nazis that escaped into the Middle East countries, they kept right on with their agenda to kill all Jews. This is a religious war. It's not a political war. And I think someone has to say that.
What do you think, Wayne? Go ahead.
You're like a dentist hitting a nerve without Novocaine on that point, because you're dead on right. One very quick story on that. The SS, the Waffen-SS. The Germans created a Waffen-SS of Muslim troops in Bosnia-Herzegovina. They disbanded them after about 6 or 9 months. Reason, excessive cruelty out of control. Think about that. That is like the devil going down into the ninth circle and saying, hey, listen, you got to lay off on this pitchfork business a little bit.
Yeah, quit
being
stabbing
a little too people. Cruel. They were out of control madmen. And that led into the conflict even that in the 1990s when Yugoslavia broke up. This gentleman really hit it.
Yeah.
That there is a hot wire connection between Nazism and what we're facing today. At the end of World War II, more than one of them wound up going into the Middle East. The anti-Semitism hot-wired as well.
And let's preface this, William, by saying once again, most people of the Muslim faith are good, dedicated people. I've got a doctor of mine in St. Louis who would risk his life to help me. I mean, these are good people. We're talking about the fanatics who, unfortunately, are in power.
That's right.
Unbelievable. Livingston, Montana. Vince, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Vince.
Gentlemen, I have an alternative hypothesis I'd like to have your comment on. I believe that Barack Hussein Obama's support for Israel has been lukewarm and superficial at best. Netanyahu and Romney were business partners. They know and trust each other. I believe Israel wants to see Romney elected. And the way that they can have the most influences is by rattling sabers and raising the price of oil at a time when Obama desperately needs to drop the price of gas to get reelected.
Now, that's an interesting possibility, William. What do you think of that one?
Gosh, I've not heard that one before. It's really playing with a firecracker, though. If all of this is some saber rattling to try and influence our election in 3 months, but the gentleman's dead on right. I wouldn't even call the current administration's support of Israel lukewarm. I would call it kind of icy cold. And he is right that a change in administration would restore connection. My anxiety is the thought that there are madmen in Iran who think we can get a war going with Israel and America will mm-hmm. not respond.
Exactly. And see, they're playing right into everybody's hands.
Yeah.
If these people in Iran, these leaders, merely would shut their mouths and try to make the door a little more open,
yes,
most of this would go away. But
as we talked about at the start, Israel is a small nation. It's the size of New Jersey. It is, what, 0.5% of the land mass
yeah.
of the Middle East?
They don't want to go to war unless sure. they have to.
They're outnumbered approximately 100-1 in terms of population in the region.
67
the
more.
Thing they want.
Syria and Egypt. They attacked Israel first.
Mm-hmm. On their high holy day in 1973, it would be the equivalent of the enemy attacking us on Christmas Day and Easter combined, the Yom Kippur War of 1973.
I'll always remember an associate of Bobby Darin when Darin was recording at a studio. They had a calendar list of things, and on a Monday, they had Yom Kippur up there in print, and the guy went up to Bobby and said, how good is that guy? Is he singing on Monday?
Oh, God.
William, let's be in touch, my friend. We're running out of time. 1 second after your incredible story, your incredible book about the EMP attack, still available?
Absolutely, and let us also pray that we're able to talk 3 months from now.
Well, you know what? That's an interesting if, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right, my friend, be well.
God bless you.
William Forstgen. I mean, we turn to these guests when we want you to get the facts, and he gives them. So let's hope everything works out. But you know what? I've got a funny feeling. Up next, Michael Murphy joins us on Coast to Coast AM. And if you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. Always available to you. We shall be right back. The rest of the classic Coast to Coast AM continues.